Unit 12. Springtime on the Menu by O. Henry. It was a day in March. Never, never begin a story this way when you write one. No opening could possibly be worse. There is no imagination in it. It is flat and dry. But we can allow it here because the following paragraph, which should have started the story, is too wild and impossible to be thrown in the face of the reader without preparation. Sarah was crying over the menu. To explain this, you may guess that oysters were not listed, or that she had ordered onions, or that she had just come from the cinema. But all your guesses are wrong, and you will please let the story continue. The gentleman who said that the world was an oyster, which he would open with his sword, became more famous than he deserved. It is not difficult to open an oyster with a sword, but did you ever notice anyone try to open it with a typewriter? Sarah had managed to open the world a little with her typewriter. That was her work, typing. She did copy typing and worked alone, not in an office. The greatest success of Sarah's battle with the world was the arrangement that she made with Schulenburg's home restaurant. The restaurant was next door to the old red brick building in which she had a room. One evening, after dining at Schulenburg's, Sarah took the menu away with her. It was written in almost unreadable handwriting, neither English nor German, and was so difficult to understand that if you were not careful, you began with the sweet and ended with the soup and the day of the week. The next day, Sarah showed Schulenburg a beautifully typewritten menu with the food listed in the right and proper places from the beginning to the words at the bottom, not responsible for coats and umbrellas. Schulenburg was very pleased. Before Sarah left him, he had made an agreement with her. She would provide typewritten menus for the 21 tables in the restaurant, a new one for each day's dinner, and new ones for breakfast and lunch as often as there were changes in the food or as neatness made necessary. In return for this, Schulenburg would send 3 meals a day to Sarah's room, and send her also, each afternoon, a list in pencil of the foods that were planned for Schulenburg's customers on the next day. Both were satisfied with the agreement. Those who ate at Schulenburg's now know what the food they were eating was called. Even if its nature sometimes confused them. And Sarah had food during a cold winter, which was the main thing for her. When the spring months arrived, it was not spring. Spring comes when it comes. The frozen snows of January still lay hard outside. Men in the streets with their musical instruments still played in the good old summer time with the expression and determination with which they had played it in December. The city was still in the power of winter. One afternoon, Sarah was shaking with cold in her bedroom. She had no word to do except type Schulenburg's menu. Sarah sat in her rocking chair and looked out of the window. The month was a spring month and kept crying to her, "Springtime is here, Sarah. Springtime is here, I tell you. You've got a neat figure, Sarah, a nice springtime figure. Why do you look out of the window so sadly?" Sarah's room was at the back of the house. Looking out of the window, she could see the windowless brick wall of the box factory in the next street. But she thought of grassy walks and trees and bushes and roses. In the summer of last year, Sarah had gone into the country and fallen in love with a farmer. In writing a story, never go backwards like this. It is bad art and destroys interest. let it go forwards. Sarah stayed 2 weeks at Sunnybrook Farm. There she learned to love old Farmer Franklin's son, Walter. Farmers have been loved and married in less time, but young Walter Franklin was a modern farmer. He even had a telephone in the building where he milked the cows. It was on a grassy walk that Walter had won her, and together they had sat and he had put dandelions in her hair. He had praised the effect of the yellow flowers against her brown hair, and she had left the flowers there and walked back to the house swinging her hat in her hands. They planned to marry in the spring, at the first signs of spring, Walter said. And Sarah came back to the city to hit the typewriter keys. A knock at the door drove away Sarah's dreams of the happy day. A waiter had brought the rough pencil list of the home restaurant's next day's food written in old Schulenberg's pointed handwriting. Sarah sat down, her typewriter, and slipped a card beneath the roller. She was a quick worker. Generally, in an hour and a half, the 21 cards were typed and ready. Today, there were more changes on the menu than usual. The soup were lighter. There were changes in the meat dish. The spirit of spring filled the whole list. Sarah's fingers danced over the typewriter like little flies above a summer stream. Down through the courses she worked, giving the name of each dish its proper position according to its length with a watchful eye. Just above the sweets came the list of vegetables, and then Sarah was crying over the menu. Tears from the depths of hopelessness rose in her heart and filled her eyes. Down went her head on the little typewriter stand. For she had received no letter from Walter in 2 weeks, and the next thing on the menu was dandelions. Dandelions with some kind of egg, but never mind the egg. Dandelions with whose golden flowers Walter had decorated the hair of his queen of love and future wife. Dandelions, the messengers of spring, reminder of her happiest days. But what a magical thing spring is. Into the great cold city of stone and iron, a message had to be sent. There was none to bring it except the little messenger of the fields with his tough green coat, the dandelion, the lion's tooth, as the French call him. When he is in flower, he will help with love-making, twisted in my lady's nut-brown hair. When young, before he has his flowers, he goes into the boiling pot. In a short time, Sarah forced back her tears. The cards must be typed. But still, in a faint golden light from her dandelion dream, she fingered the typewriter keys absently for a little while, her mind and heart on the country walk with her young farmer. But soon she came back to the stone streets of Manhattan, and the typewriter began to jump. At 6 o'clock, the waiter brought her dinner and carried away the menus. While Sarah ate, she put the dish of dandelions sadly to one side, just as a bright flower had been changed into a dark, unimportant vegetable, so her summer hopes had died. At 7:30, the two people in the next room began to quarrel. The gaslight went a little lower. Someone started to unload coal. Cats could be heard on the back fences. By these signs, Sarah knew that it was time for her to read. She got her books settled, her feet on her trunk, and began. The front doorbell rang. The lady downstairs answered it. Sarah stopped reading and listened. Oh, yes, you would, just as she did. And then a strong voice was heard in the hall below, and Sarah jumped for her door, leaving the book on the floor. You have guessed it. She reached the top of the stairs just as her farmer came rushing up and held her tightly in his arms.
"Why haven't you written, oh, why?"
cried Sarah. "New York is a rather large town," said Walter Franklin. "I came in a week ago to your old address. I found that you had gone away on a Thursday. The police and I have hunted for you ever since."
"I wrote to you,"
said Sarah, with feeling. "Never got it."
"Then how did you find me?"
The young farmer smiled a springtime smile. "I went into the home restaurant next door this evening," said he. "I don't care who knows it. I like a dish of some kind of greens. At this time of the year, I ran my eyes down that nice typewritten menu looking for something like that. When I got to the vegetables, I knocked my chair over and shouted for the owner. He told me where you lived."
"Why?"
"I'd know that capital W above the line that your typewriter makes anywhere in the world," said Franklin. The young man pulled a menu from his pocket and pointed to a line. Sarah recognized the first card she had typed that afternoon. There was still a mark in the upper right-hand corner where a tear had fallen. But over the spot where one should have read the name of a certain plant, the memory of their golden flowers had caused her fingers to strike strange keys. Between two vegetables listed on the menu was the description: "Dearest Walter, with hard-boiled egg."